For he is in my Saviour all the day long. That's how it ought to be for the child of God. And we ought to learn to praise him more and more every passing day. And many times through the day too. We're opening the scriptures this evening as we turn in God's word to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Going to read the opening 9 verses of the chapter. And the subject tonight is God's wrath against sin and his merciful deliverance. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, that they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Amen. Let us all pray. Father, as we come to look into the scriptures this evening, we pray for wisdom and understanding. We realize that spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And unless the Lord is our teacher, and the Holy Spirit, our comforter, comes alongside, then we remain in darkness, and we cannot appreciate divine truth. Father, it is our desire that we might be taught of God this evening, that thou wilt make thy word live in our hearts, that thou wilt teach us these truths that are here in this part of God's word, and throughout the entire scriptures, concerning the wrath of God against sin, and his wonderful, merciful deliverance. We pray as thee tonight that man can find grace in God's eyes. And so many in this meeting have found that grace. We pray that others will find grace tonight for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're going to concentrate our thoughts upon verses 5, 7 and 8. Verse 5, And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Verse 7, And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The population of the earth began to multiply in this particular era of history. More sinners were born into the world, and with it more sin. From the little hovels to the grand palaces, there was nothing but sinful, lustful, violent activity. And of course this did not escape the eye of God. Men were playing the fool in the sight of heaven. Sin multiplied and manifested itself in every quarter of the land. Ungodliness, unrighteousness and corruption was widespread in every home and in every street corner. There was rebellion against every law of God. And the totally depraved human race practiced sin openly, without shame, restraint, or sense of guilt. Unlawful marriages were entered into through a mere impulse of lust when the sons of God married the daughters of men. The so-called professors of religion were joined unto those who were profane, godless, and strangers to grace. The descendants of Seth did not keep by themselves as they ought to have, but they intermingled with the excommunicated race of Cain. These marriage bonds were not in keeping with the divine law of God. The attraction was a fleshly one, as they chose merely by sight, for they saw, the Bible tells us here, they saw that they were fair, and so they took them. This unequal yoke was bound to produce even greater corruption in the land and greater rebellion against Almighty God, and it did. God's displeasure is aroused as he resolves to withdraw his Spirit and cease to strive with man. Now, the reason why the Spirit would cease to strive with sinners was because they had become incurably corrupt, carnal, and sensual. So angry is the Lord with man's waywardness and wickedness that the Scripture informs us that it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Now, the language that is used here in the Scriptures does not imply any passion or uneasiness in God. For nothing can cause or create a disturbance in the eternal mind. But this is an expression of his just and his holy displeasure against sin and sinners. God hates sin. Man's evil has grieved him to the heart. The Lord doesn't change his mind, but he expresses a change of his way. The change was in man, not in God. It was man who had corrupted his ways upon the earth. It was man who rebelled against his Creator. It was man who had fallen short of God's glory. And as God's immutable, unchangeable justice and holiness comes out to meet man in his sin, it meets him in anger. And therefore God resolved to destroy man for his wickedness. He purposed to blot out every living creature that walked upon the face of the earth except the eight who were saved in the ark. In the midst of utter damnation, God opened a door of mercy and provided a way of escape. The character of these people and the nature of those days has a very strong bearing upon the 21st century in which we live. There is a very meaningful parallel between those days, centuries ago, millenniums ago, and the present age in which we live. In fact, the one who draws the parallel is none other than Jesus Christ himself. For as he was speaking on his second coming in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24, and he was talking about the spirit of the age in which he will come back to the earth again, he likened it unto this period of history. Matthew 24 and verse 37. He says, "As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." As it was in that day that we've been reading about here in Genesis chapter 6, so shall it also be in the day when Jesus Christ comes back again. God's judgment at the second coming of Christ is going to be swift and sudden, sure and solemn, as it was in the days of the flood. All those who have not entered into the ark of safety through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work at the cross shall be doomed to certain destruction. What a fearful picture the future has in store for all those who know not Christ as Savior. My friend, I say unto you who know not the Lord, flee from the wrath to come. Get into the ark of refuge, which is Jesus Christ himself. I want you to think about God's wrath against sin and God's merciful deliverance as it is pictured here. Because my friends, in wrath, he remembers mercy. And that's so good to know. Notice first of all the corruption of man. We read it there in verse 5 of our reading in Genesis chapter 6. We are told that God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Violence, lawlessness, and uncleanness was rampant in the land. All the depths of human depravity, down, 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 into the darkness of wickedness and transgression. Never before had man sunk into such defilement and degeneracy. Oh, the heights of human perverseness, heights that reached unto heaven to provoke divine and holy wrath. Never before had such sin and shame reached high heaven, crying out for the judgment of God. And God saw it all. Nothing escaped his attention. As wickedness and satanic powers increased and seemed to prevail, heaven was not sleeping or ignorant to the facts. God observed the fountain of sin that was gushing forth from the hearts of mankind. Come, my friends, look through the piercing eyes of a holy God. View sin as God views sin this evening. There's no point in looking through our own puny eyes, for we are short-sighted and our vision is impaired and blurred. We must examine sin in the light of God's holiness and see how abhorrent and putrid it really is. God saw that the wickedness of man was great. The departure from God was so great that the earth seemed to be one black ball of sin. Corruption had reached an all-time peak. It had ascended into the highest mountain. It had sunk into the lowest valley. Yet to really see the darkness of human depravity as God sees it, we must go beyond the outward appearances into the inner regions of man, right into the heart. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The heart displays the true man in all his fallen nature and rebellion. And man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. God sees your heart tonight. The real man. The real state and condition of the soul. The Lord was able to see what the human eye couldn't see. That every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The gaze of the Almighty penetrated right into the source and the center of corruption. And I am reminded what Jesus said in the New Testament. He said, from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. What a dark list is outlined by the Savior here in the New Testament. 13 in number. The evil thought that arises in the mind, the adulterous action that has become so common today, the fornication that is rapidly breeding in our land, the murder and the bloodshed that we are so familiar with in this country, the robbery and the stealing of another man's possessions, the blasphemy against the Lord God Almighty, and all these evils that the Lord Jesus has mentioned, which abound in a sin-soaked society, come from the heart, which is deceitful and desperately wicked. The root of the problem can be traced to the central controlling region of man's being, the heart. As God gazes down upon the hearts of men and women, he sees a treasure of evil bursting forth. Man has corrupted his ways and is far away from God. And I'm not talking about the darkest inhabitants of Africa with all their superstitious witchcraft and demonology. I'm not referring to those far eastern countries where they sacrifice little babies to the spirit world in satanic worship. Of course, they murder the unborn by their thousands in this country by their savage abortion crimes. Nor am I speaking about those countries in the Middle East where life is so cheap and the deluded minds of false religionists are prepared for suicide bombings. No, I'm talking about the United Kingdom, these British Isles, our own land, our own nation. God looks down from above and he sees this fountain of evil. Do you know that recent figures released in the United Kingdom tell us that 20% of fathers attempt incest with their children? This is a shocking and an alarming percentage for a so-called civilized religious country. Filthiness is abounding. Satan is corrupting the minds and the hearts of young people today, especially by the television, by the internet, by newspapers and magazines. The great dragon of uncleanness is creeping into every town and village. The serpent of impurity is slithering into every family. And sodomy, with all its perverseness, is increasing. And now laws are being passed to facilitate the so-called rights of these perverts. Blasphemy against God is another mark of a corrupt society, where men today have no regard for God or for his holy character. They have forgotten him, forgotten his goodness, forgotten his mercy, forgotten his daily provision. They have turned their backs upon this Creator, and they despise the cross work of Jesus Christ. These are but a few of the many sins that appear today. But you say, I'm not guilty of these, preacher. No, my friends, perhaps not, but you're guilty of a greater sin. The sin that will take you out into a lost eternity and damn your soul in the depths of hell, rejecting Jesus Christ as your Savior, turning your back upon the cross work, that place whereon Jesus died, the just for the unjust, that we might be brought to God. There's no greater sin than rejecting Jesus Christ. If you are not saved, I want you to know this evening that God lists you with all these other transgressors. In Revelation 21 and verse 8, he puts the unbelieving, those who have not believed on Christ, those who have not believed on him for salvation, he puts the unbelieving side by side with the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars. My friend, if you're not saved in God's sight, you're corrupt. Don't let the devil deceive you into thinking anything else. God saw that the wickedness of man was great. That's how God views it tonight. Oh, the corruption of man. But you will see, secondly, in our reading and in verse 7, the condemnation of man. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. You see the word that is used here, I will destroy man from the face of the earth. The original word there, the actual literal translation is very significant. It means I will wipe off man from the earth. Just as dirt or filth is wiped away from a place that ought to be clean, so the great judge of all the world was going to wipe off those who were living in sin in the days of Noah. Punishment for the ungodly is a certain thing. It's not going to be a flood of water in the future, my friend, for you who know not the Lord. The flood of water came in the old world and destroyed the inhabitants of that time. But it's not going to be a flood of water, for God has promised that the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. No, the final destruction that the Bible speaks about is that of eternal fire. As multitudes of sinners from all ages sink in everlasting pain and torment in the experience that is called in God's word the second death. The second death, which is the lake of fire. What a solemn thing that is tonight. And do you know, as I think about the destruction of mankind in the future, as I think of a lost eternity tonight, and I think of what was happening back in the days of Noah, I want to say two things, just in passing. The first thing is, there will be souls in hell who sat under the preaching of the gospel. That's a very solemn thing. Noah went out preaching the word in his day. He was a preacher of righteousness. He faithfully warned of the coming judgment of God. He called men to repentance and salvation, but men mocked him. Noah preached, but they laughed. Noah declared the message of God faithfully, but they despised it. They turned their back upon it. They did not believe in it. They thought that Noah was mad, that he was out of his mind. But the flood came and swept them all away, and the preacher was right. And I tell you, my friends, thousands sit under the solemn message of the gospel and the impending judgment of God. Faithful preachers warn their congregations about the future destruction, and they call them to the refuge which is found in Christ, but sinners ignore it. And they neglect the Savior, and they turn away from His speaking voice. They're just like those who mocked in Noah's time. I wonder, are you so foolish to be like them? Are you shutting your ears to the gospel? Are you hardening your hearts to the things of God? Are you rejecting so great salvation, trampling under feet the very blood of the Son of God? Well, I must be faithful, and I must warn you that sit beneath the sound of the gospel. He that believeth not the Son, the wrath of God abideth in him. And my friend's souls will be in hell that sat under the gospel. The other thing that I want to say in passing is this. There are souls in hell with whom the Holy Spirit has striven. In the days of Noah, God's Spirit was striving with man, but God said, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. The Lord did not destroy man until His Spirit had been long striving with them. God did strive with them. He said, I'm going to destroy the world. I'm going to wipe off man from the face of the earth. And old Noah, during the time when the ark was being prepared and erected there for the saving of his house, he went out preaching the word. And God strove with the old world for 120 years. But there came the day when the Spirit ceased to strive, and God's voice was heard no longer, for the judgment of God came swiftly. Men are openly rebelling in the face of Almighty God today. They have opposed the strivings of the Spirit, and therefore God thunders forth the stern warning that His Spirit will not always strive with man. Now, I thank God tonight for the working of the Spirit, the fact that He does strive. He speaks to man. The Lord will put up with so much. He will let man go so far. He will continue to strive with sinners so long. And then comes the day, my friends, when God says, enough is enough. Man has refused to turn from his sin to God. And although the Spirit has worked, and although the Spirit has pleaded and striven and melted and spoken to the hearts of men, that same Spirit turns and he walks away. For his Spirit will not always strive with man. And the only thing left for such a soul is God's condemning words, "I will destroy." And souls are in hell tonight upon whom the Spirit of God worked. Men are lost tonight that knew the strivings of the Spirit of God. And my friend, my fear tonight is in this meeting, the Spirit of God will cease to strive with some. This condemnation is sure. It's decreed by God. It was sure in the days of Noah. The appointed day finally arrived when Noah and his family were safely gathered into the ark, and then the deluge came. Picture the scene. I don't know whether you've ever tried in your mind and your heart to go back to the days of Noah and try to understand something of what it must have been like. The ark has been erected, built. Noah has preached. The preaching's now over. The day has come to enter into the ark, and into the ark they go. Noah and his family, just his family being saved. The rest of the world hardened right to the end, despising God, despising the message of God. And then comes the moment when God closes the door, and the door is shut, and is shut forever upon the sinners of the whole world. And perhaps they're still laughing, and they're standing outside the ark, despising Noah inside and his family. But then the rain begins to fall. There never had been rain on the earth before. The earth was watered not only by the rivers that flowed through the earth, but by the dew that came down. There never had been rain before the flood came, but the rain began to fall. And those people that mocked, those people that laughed at the message and despised what Noah had to say, they began to realize, listen, it's all true. And as the torrents of rain began to fall, and the great fountains of the deep began to be broken up, and the earth was being flooded, the men and the women of that time realized it's true. Can you imagine the fear that must have gripped their heart when the judgment of God was now falling upon the old world? And I can picture it in my mind's eye as they run to the ark. They're not laughing any longer. They're not scorning the preacher any longer. They're not mocking the message of God. No, my friends, they're crying out for mercy. And I can see them as they beat upon the sides of the ark and they cry, "Let me in, let me in." But it's too late, you see, the door is shut. Oh, the solemnity of such a time when Jesus comes back again. Because the Bible says when the bridegroom comes and those that are ready enter into the marriage, the door is going to be shut. That eternal door into heaven will be closed forevermore. And my friend, if you're not in the ark, if you're not in Christ, if you're not saved by the grace of God, it will be too late, no matter how much you cry. And the Bible tells us that men will cry on that day. The door is shut forevermore, and there's no entrance into the place of refuge and safety. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's the words of Jesus. And my friend, I say again, flee. Flee! Flee the wrath to come. The corruption of man. The condemnation of man. Praise God, in the midst of it all, there is the conversion of man, albeit just one family. And you read about it in verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In the midst of the vile corruption and the wickedness, there was one man and his family that tasted the grace and the mercy of God. One man who in his day shone out for righteousness and uprightness. One man that obtained favor in the eyes of the Lord. Born into a sinful world, living among such ungodly neighbors, growing up surrounded by perverseness, violence and crime, faced with the temptations of his age and the trials of life, Noah was converted to the Lord. And in turn, his family circle were also saved. He had household salvation, the very thing that every Christian in this meeting tonight longs for. Husband saved, wife saved, children all found in the grace of God and ready for heaven. Noah walked with God. What a blessed testimony is born concerning this eminent saint of the Lord in such a dark day. You know, you can walk with God in a dark day. He followed in the footsteps of his great-grandfather, Enoch, who also had this splendid testimony born of him, the only two men in the Bible that we read about who had this testimony. Now, others walk with God, but it's especially said of Enoch and Noah that they walk with God in their time. And the flood came, but God saved Noah and his family when his wrath fell upon the rest of the world. My friend, God can save you too. These are days of rebellion, anarchy, perversion, trouble and lust. But the light of the gospel is still burning in our land. The day of opportunity is still with us, and you can still be saved. There is an ark of safety into which you can enter. It will protect you and shield you from the wrath of God. And while the fiery floods of divine judgment surround every Christ rejecter, you can be safe and secure in the ark of God. Who is that ark? As I said earlier, it is Christ. You must enter into Christ through the precious blood. You must come to put your faith and your trust in the finished work of Calvary, where Jesus died for sinners. My friend, if you come to him, he'll not cast you out. If you call upon his great name tonight, he will save you. It's all made possible because of the grace of God. You can find grace in the eyes of the Lord, just like Noah did. And grace is the unmerited favor of God. Something you didn't work for, something you didn't earn, something that you cannot purchase or buy. No, my friends, salvation is all of grace. And you can have grace tonight in the eyes of the Lord if you come as a sinner to Jesus. Amazing grace. Wasn't that the testimony of the African blasphemer John Newton? When upon conversion, he bore testimony in the hymn that he wrote, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. I'm saved by grace tonight. I'm kept by grace. And that same grace is going to take me home to heaven one day." My dear friends, do you know the grace of God in your life? Can you say that you're saved? That you're ready for eternity? Do you know the wrath of God will pass over you in the great judgment day? Because you're found in the ark, Christ Jesus. If not, I implore you to come to the Savior tonight. Come without delay. Venture all upon his atoning sacrifice at Calvary's cross. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we know that we're living in a similar time to that of Noah. We know of how the Lord Jesus predicted before he came back again that we would revisit that kind of age when there's lawlessness, great violence and immorality, and we see it through the whole world. Surely it must be the dawning of the day. Surely the coming of the Lord is drawing very nigh. O God, we pray that men and women will be prepared for that time. Teach them, Lord, that thy Spirit will not always strive with them. Show them that there is an ark of refuge found in Christ and in Christ alone. Oh God, may they get into that ark tonight. May they obtain thy favour and find thy grace, just as Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he was saved, and his wife and his family. Oh God, what we pray for any sinner that might be in this meeting, we pray for every member of our own families tonight, because it is the deep longing of our heart that they will all be accounted for in the grace of God before that great and dreadful day of the Lord doth come. And just now we pray for that husband, that wife, that son, that daughter, out of Christ, going out into the darkness without hope, lost, cut off from that without remedy. Oh God, in Jesus' name, save them. Please, Lord, give us the blessing that Noah had, household salvation, because we ask in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen.